Good morning, Senator Jacobson. How are you today?
Great, guys. How are you?
Good morning, sir. We're doing pretty good for a damp Monday in North Platte.
I hear you. Well, I'm in Lincoln, and it's wet here and cold here. I'm heading on to Omaha this afternoon for a tour of the University Med Center. So looking forward to that tour. And there's a lot of things that happen between the Med Center and our local Great Plains Health Hospital. And so I'm anxious to meet with the group there.
Yeah, and kind of a dual hat for you, too. Obviously, you'll be going down as our District 42 Senator, but as a reminder for folks that aren't aware, Senator Jacobson, you also serve on the Board of Directors for Great Plains Health.
I do. It's been a good experience. I can tell you I've learned a lot about hospitals and healthcare, and probably a little more than I wanted to learn at times, but I can tell you that one of the things we've got to keep in mind is that rural hospitals were very, very fortunate. Great Plains Health has been profitable, but I can tell you that most all of the rural hospitals across the state will lose money this year on an operating basis, and even some of the major hospitals will be losing money. I've been able to see that up front and personal as far as how the numbers come in and how it works. And like so many other industries, when you look at healthcare, it's highly regulated. There are expenses that are federally mandated, and the numbers do not look good. And so I know the legislature is going to have to be looking at that as well as we look at our budget going forward. Having access to quality healthcare in rural Nebraska is really important, and it's something that I'm keenly aware of. And fortunately, have the experience on the hospital board to understand some of the inner workings there, and I think will help me in terms of drafting legislation as we move forward through the Nebraska legislature as well.
So, a tour of the University of Nebraska Medical Center coming up for you and some of your colleagues today, then, Senator Jacobson.
Actually, it's going to be a private tour. I think they handle us one at a time. So, those that want to do the tour, so I'm on for today to do the private tour. So, it'll be kind of interesting.
Awesome. That's a little exciting, too, and a reminder that we're kind of getting into crunch time, too, with the Nebraska legislature reconvening early next year.
That's correct. The last day of the 107th legislature is January 3rd, and then on January 4th, we begin the 108th biennium. So in the morning of the 4th, families and so on can come down and spend a little time on the floor and tour things, and then at noon on the 4th, things get pretty exciting, and we start moving forward then at that point with adopting temporary rules, which could get interesting. Hopefully it doesn't this year. Adopt temporary rules, and then we move on to electing our who's going to be our clerk, and Patrick O'Donnell has been the clerk of the legislature for, 40-some years now, does a tremendous job. He's retiring here at the end of the session, and so we'll be electing a new clerk of the legislature, and so that'll be one of the first items of business, and then you elect the speaker, and then you elect the committee chairs, and then we also elect the members of the committee on committees, who then goes out and determines who's going to sit on which committee, which is an interesting process as well. And I have thrown my name in the hat to be considered for a member of the Committee on Committees, representing basically the 16 members of the freshman class. So we'll see how that all turns out. But there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes right now, and I'm really looking forward to the session beginning.
I believe Senator Groney had served on that committee of committees when there was organization just a year ago, too, right, Senator?
He did. He did. And, of course, the Committee on Committees is unique from the standpoint that there is a process you have to go through in terms of they basically break the state down in the three congressional districts. So there are four members on the Committee on Committees from each of the three congressional districts, and plus there's the chair. And in all likelihood, the chair this year will be from the 3rd Congressional District, and then there'd be four additional members from CD3 that would serve on that committee. And then when it comes to the committees themselves, you basically look at where the openings are on the various committees, and then you rotate round and appoint people, and they rotate between 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Congressional District. And so it's a unique process of how you select who goes where. So you never know for sure where you're going to end up on each of the committees, but you've got a pretty good idea as long as you've kind of done your work with the members of the committee on committees, which you don't know exactly who they're going to be, but you've got a pretty good idea who they're going to be prior to the session beginning. And of course, there's been enough discussions and lobbying and so on being done by the individuals who are interested in being committee chairs. So I can tell you I've got a pretty good idea who the committee chairs are going to be. And in fact, I can probably write them down. And after the elections, after everything's over, we'll find that the names I wrote down will be the same as the ones who ultimately get there. So so it's not totally cut and dry, but I think it's a pretty good idea of how it's going to work. And it gets me back to a lot of the discussion about, you know, the secret ballot or the open ballot for voting for leadership of the committees. And, you know, let's just be frank about what that really is about. Historically, voting for the leadership has been done by a secret ballot.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a lot of proponents, a lot of people saying that's a bad thing because everybody ought to be on the record of who they voted for and what they did. Many in the minority look at that more from the standpoint that if there's an open ballot, that there's pressure being put on those people when they vote to vote with their political party as opposed to voting for who's the best qualified for that particular chairmanship. I guess I would just tell you that whether you do a secret ballot or whether you do an open vote, I think we all pretty well know who's going to end up in those spots regardless. And having a secret ballot might cause a couple of people to vote differently. But probably the biggest issue comes down to when you've got more than one person that's running for that seat of the same party. That's where it could get a little more interesting and where the secret ballot would allow people to maybe hide behind that. So that's kind of what some of that controversy's been with regard to secret or open vote. I still believe at the end of the day, the committee chairs are pretty well known by the people across the legislature, and all, no matter whether we do a secret ballot or we do an open ballot, I think that those same individuals are going to be elected. The challenge in this legislative session is that we have to adopt temporary rules. The temporary rules are going to be adopted, and then we'll vote on the chairs. Well, the temporary rules cannot be filibustered, nor can the permanent rules when we do rules afterwards. So if you want to go to an open vote for committee chairs this year, you would have to do it as part of the temporary rules. And until you adopt the temporary rules, then we really can't get any other business done. So if there be a move to change the temporary rules to go to an open ballot, then we could spend days or even a month or more just arguing over temporary rules. So I don't believe that will happen. And I think if there's any kind of vote to change the permanent rules and to have an open ballot, that would happen after all the leadership gets elected this year. But you can't you can't stop a filibuster. And so a few years ago, they had this debate on the rules, and they spent well over a month just arguing on the debate over that. And so they really wasted a third of the time in the legislature just arguing over the rules. So I really hope we can avoid that. I don't think at the end of the day it's going to make a big difference one way or the other when you really look at the mix of Republicans and Democrats that are involved in this nonpartisan legislature. And I don't know at the end of the day it's going to make a big difference in terms of who leads what. So just my thought.
District 42 Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update here on KODY's Mugs of the Morning, 1240 AM, 106.1 FM. And Senator, as the session is quickly approaching, you mentioned something that is very unique in the fact of it's going to look different than ever before in the Nebraska legislature, different than it's looked in a number of years, by the process of getting a new clerk for the Nebraska legislature as Patrick is retiring, and a very well-deserved retirement, we might add, as well.
That's correct. Brent, I got to tell you, Patrick, really a remarkable individual. He knows where all the bodies are buried. He's a guy that knows the rules inside and out. Very effective individual. I really enjoyed spending the time with him the time I was there. I'm really, really glad that I had the opportunity to serve in the 107th legislature, because I really had the opportunity to really spend some time around him. And he's truly a remarkable guy, and he's going to be missed. Although I'm pretty certain that Brandon Metzler will become he's the assistant clerk, one of the assistant clerks today. I know Brandon has applied for the position. I fully expect that he will be elected as the permanent clerk. Brandon has been around Patrick for quite some time, and I think will do a great job. But that isn't a done deal yet, but I'm pretty certain that Brandon Metzler will end up being the clerk following Patrick.
Would make for a very smooth transition.
It would. Like I say, he knows all the senators. He's been around Patrick long enough and got some good experience. Obviously quite a bit younger, but one day Patrick was young. So,
weren't we all?
That's right.
So it's going to look different, obviously, at the head of the Nebraska legislature with a new clerk potentially. Well, definitely a new clerk, but maybe an assistant clerk moving into that role. And then there's going to be a vacancy created in Speaker of the Nebraska legislature as well. So could have some different committee chairs and definitely going to have a new speaker.
That's right. Well, we'll definitely have a new speaker, and we'll definitely have changes in a lot of the chairmanships, because we've had number of chairmen who get term limit out, and so those chairmanships will need to be replaced, and there'll be some other changes probably among some of the standing committees that are out there today. It's been, and I would just tell you, with the change in the speaker, I really enjoyed, I was able to sit next to Mike Hilgers, who is our current speaker of the legislature. Mike, again, great guy. I really learned a lot from him, enjoyed spending time around him, and now he's become the Attorney General. So he will be resigning at the end of the day on the 3rd, because he still has 2 years left on his term, and so he will resign from the legislature and be sworn in as the next Attorney General. So we'll be very well served, and I know Mike will still be pretty close with the legislature, but he's provided some great leadership during his time the last 2 years serving as the speaker.
And a good resource that you'll still be able to have as well, as you guys knew each other prior to your service in the legislature, Senator Jacobson, and got even closer, as you alluded to just a minute ago.
That's exactly right. Now, and he'll be very accessible, and so you're right. He'll be a great resource to still have. I wish him well, and we'll miss him, but I think he'll do a great job as the Attorney General, and I think there'll be a lot of work to do as Attorney General. I think as we move on to dealing with issues with the Perkins County Canal, I think one of his early issues will probably be filing suit against the state of Colorado. So that'll be interesting to watch as well.
And Attorney General-elect Hilgers obviously resigning from the Nebraska legislature, as you mentioned a minute ago, Senator Jacobson. I believe it was last week that we had Governor-elect Pillen officially announce that he's seeking candidates for Speaker Hilgers' seat in the Nebraska legislature as well. So there'll be three individuals that'll be appointed in the Nebraska legislature. Obviously, you were appointed as well, but your appointed term ends the day before the legislature convenes. So very unique with another appointee coming to the Nebraska legislature. Hopefully there's some applicants hitting the governor-elect's desk.
And actually, it'll make a total of four, because I was appointed, Senator Kalf was appointed, and we also appointed a replacement for Senator Flood, and now Speaker Hilgers. So there'll be four of us that'll be a part of the, technically the freshman class, I think Senator Kalth and Senator Rob Dover and I, all three, would technically be redshirt freshmen, although if you really carry through the redshirt freshman concept, I was a redshirt freshman who actually played in a game because I was there during the session itself, and Senator Kalth came after that, as did Senator Dover, and then, of course, the replacement for Senator Hilgers will be coming in shortly after the session begins, and then join the freshman class as well.
And Senator Jacobson obviously was announced with that vacancy in the, I believe it's the 21st legislative district that Mike Hilgers serves currently. Is that right?
I believe that's correct.
With his vacancy, Governor-elect Pillen also announced that he's going to be seeking applicants to fill the seat that's going to be vacated with the resignation of U.S. Senator Sass. And to the speculation and not the surprise of many, Governor Ricketts, our current governor, has announced that he intends to apply for that seat. And obviously, it's going to be a big decision for Governor-elect Pillen in the first days of his office. But let's talk a little bit about the relationship that you've had with Governor Ricketts. Obviously, there's been a great working relationship for a number of years between you and Pete Ricketts. And what are your thoughts on him potentially representing our state in Washington?
Well, I can't imagine anyone doing a better job than Pete Ricketts. I think that the job he's done over the last 8 years in the legislature or in as a governor of the state of Nebraska has been remarkable. I think when you look at him as a fiscal conservative, our average budget increases over the last 8 years under his leadership has been 2.8% increases in spending, which is truly remarkable when you look at the amount of labor and so on that's involved at the state level in terms of expenditures. And so he's done a great job of really managing overall the budget of the state of Nebraska. Obviously, when it came to any appointments, he was looking for people who were both fiscally and socially conservative, and he certainly is. And I would tell you that what he's learned and what he's exhibited in terms of just being what I would consider a natural leader. He's a great communicator. If you have ever watched him go out and do a speech anywhere, I don't care where he goes, when he gets up and does an address, he'll speak for 30 minutes without any notes, rattling off facts and figures, and he's got it all locked into his head. And I can tell you that's a gift. I think one thing to get up and speak, it's another thing to repeat specific numbers and do it all from memory. And so he's a very bright individual, got a good business background, and I think he would serve us incredibly well. I've had the opportunity to serve on his Ag Advisory Council shortly after he first became governor, and so I spent 8 years around him from that standpoint, but just find him to be a truly remarkable individual, someone that is loyal and a good friend, and I would tell you anytime I've called him and talk to him and called him governor, he always corrects me and say, "Mike, why are you calling me governor?" You know, and so he's just a pretty common individual as well. So I've enjoyed working with him.
And I've always been impressed about the way that Governor Ricketts understands the difference between eastern and western Nebraska, the way that he addresses that divide. And he has a passion for Chadron just as much as he does for Lincoln.
He's figured out that the Nebraska border, that we border Colorado and Wyoming, not
York County,
Hamilton County.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and that's not something that everybody knows in the Capitol for sure, unfortunately.
Well, that's exactly right, and I think they got a good taste of it from me in the last legislative session, and they're going to get quite a bit more of it as we move forward. So if I get anything done during my time in the legislature, I'm going to educate people in the legislature where the actual borders are on the western part of Nebraska.
Senator Jacobson, the geography teacher, is how he may be known among some of his colleagues, and I'd be okay with that, Mike.
I'd go for that.
That's right.
Now, Senator Jacobson, anything else you'd like to add this morning, sir?
Well, I guess one quick thing. Rick Windham, I've got a Christina was telling me here a week ago that there's a question that you haven't answered for her.
Uh-oh.
And that would be?
I want to make sure I've... What's that?
And that would be?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't want to get this wrong, so I'm going to bring this next week. So everybody hang on for next week.
Oh, okay.
It's a trivia question, and I think it has something about a mammal that barks or doesn't bark or something. I got to get it. I got to make sure I got it right. Christina's probably listening right now saying, man, I told you what it was. Why are you screwing this up on the radio? But I'm going to bring you the actual question next week. I'm just telling you, be prepared.
I'm intrigued.
The first thing that comes to mind is Lewis and Clark, when they came across and they encountered prairie dogs for the first time, they got their name prairie dog because they thought they barked.
Huh. Interesting.
Well, it has something to do along that line. So you might want to bone up on this because I'm going to bring you the actual question next week.
Roger that.
I am intrigued. We're excited. We'll look forward to that, Senator Jacobson. And in the meantime, if there's any of your District 42 constituents that want to get in contact with you, what's the best way for them to do so, sir?
Just give me a call at the office at 402-471-2729. Or you can email me at mjacobson, with an O, at leg.ne.gov. So mjacobson at ledge.ne.gov. And Christine and Joe get the copies of the emails as well, and we'll get back to you. But I would love to hear from you and want to know your input and your thoughts. That's how we make things happen. That's our responsibility, is to learn from our constituents and make sure we're doing what you want done in the legislature. So look forward to hearing from you.
Senator Jacobson, as always, we appreciate the time, sir. We'll talk to you again this time next week.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a good week.